Mystery or No Mystery by Howard Jones.
Round 10, literature. Who wrote the following well-known spy stories? 1. The 39 Steps. 2. Smiley's People. 3. The Secret Agent. 4. Eye of the Needle. And 5. The Riddle of the Sands. You've got 2 minutes to hand your answers in. We'll then give the answers and the scores at the halfway stage in about 15 minutes. So, time to top up your drinks, give your brains a rest, and we'll be back for the second half.
So, the 39 Steps was John Buchan, agreed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Smiley's People, John Le Carrier.
Yeah.
Eye of the Needle. I think that was Ken Follett.
Yeah. Could be. Any clues about the Secret Agent?
Sorry.
How about Graham Greene as a guest if we don't know?
Yeah, better than nothing. How about the Riddle of the Sands?
That's a stroke of luck. I read that a few months back.
Oh, good. So what's the answer? Yeah,
always assuming that you can remember it.
Cheeky devil. Get the drinks in whilst I think about it.
Are you pulling our legs?
I know his first name was the same as a bridge in Scotland.
Oh, well, that gives us a few, do you know? Let's think. Fourth, Sky, Tay?
No. It was none of those.
We've only got 2 minutes.
All right. Just kidding. It was Erskine Childers.
I'll hand the answer sheet in.
Right. 2 pints of bitter. 1 gin tea and an orange juice. How are we doing?
Same as usual, probably about fifth or sixth. We're still no good on pop music, soaps, reality TV, and anything since the millennium. What is real about those shows? Mind being unlike the home of our own dear Queen, they are totally unlike the life of anyone I know.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, pop music finished in the early 70s. Yeah. I wasn't that keen then, but you had to at least pretend to be interested in it, as all the girls were.
Yeah, like we pretended to like football if we fancied someone.
That's a strange name, Erskine Childers.
Yeah, it is. His full name was Robert Erskine Childers. He came to a rather unfortunate end.
Why? What happened?
He was shot by a firing squad.
Go on.
Well, it was in Ireland. After the Anglo-Irish Treaty, giving Ireland independence, except for the 6 counties, there was a civil war between the Irish Free State, as the independent part was known, and the Nationalists, wanting independence for the whole of Ireland. Now, he was discovered to be in possession of a firearm without authority, which was a capital offence. He was found guilty and shot. The gun was given to him by Michael Collins, who'd been assassinated by the IRA 2 years before. And when he signed the treaty, Collins said he was signing his own death warrant. Ironic that they should end up on opposite sides. But Childers was opposed to the treaty, as it required the Irish to swear an oath of allegiance to the Crown.
It's a sad fact that treaties that are meant to end difficulties often end up causing problems.
He apparently shook hands with all the firing squad, and his last words were, "Take a step forward or two, boys. It will be easier that way." He also instructed his 16-year-old son to shake hands with everyone who'd signed his death warrant. He's buried in Glasnevin Cemetery in Dublin. The son later became president of Ireland in the 1970s.
Oh. Wow. Our author was quite a character.
Yes. He went to public school and then Trinity College, Cambridge. He studied the classics and law and became a clerk in the House of Commons. He served in the army in the Boer War, then the navy in the Great War, winning a DSC in the Dardanelles, and finally he was transferred to the Royal Air Force.
And so he served in all three branches of the services?
Yes, surprisingly so. Not many people have done that. Although the royal family seem to have a uniform for all occasions.
So, how did he become a convert to Irish nationalism?
Well, he's brought up in Ireland after his parents died when he was young. He loved the country and felt that he'd been badly treated by the English. Before the start of the Great War, he used his yacht to smuggle arms and ammunition into Ireland, and then went off to fight for Britain in the war, as did thousands of Irishmen. The execution of the leaders of the Easter Rising and the terms of the treaty also probably played a part. Mm.
So, what was the book about?
Well, it's a spy story. Two old university friends sail round the Baltic before the First War, exploring the islands and shipping channels, and raise concerns about the growing threat to Britain from the German Navy. There's no doubt that one of the characters was Childers himself. It's well worth a read.
Will do. Especially now I know a bit about the author.
You should enjoy it, especially as a sailing man yourself. I suppose you're going on your annual voyage round some of the Scottish islands.
Yeah, we're chartering a yacht from Ullapool, going towards the Hebrides, Lewis and Harris and other places. Yeah, I want to have a look at the Flannan Isles, especially the lighthouse on Eileen Moor.
What's so special about that particular lighthouse? Isn't one lighthouse much like any other?
Did you know Princess Anne is interested in lighthouses? It was on the One Show the other night.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Perhaps it's something to do with the shape. Oh, it's special because of the mysterious disappearance of its three keepers in 1900. There have been all sorts of theories, but no definitive explanation. And over 100 years later, I don't suppose there will be.
Are you going to tell us more?
Well, the first indication there might be a problem was when a ship docked at Leith on the 18th of December and reported that when it passed the lighthouse on the 15th, the light was not operating in bad weather. The relief ship was sent from Lewis. Did not arrive because of bad weather until noon on the 26th. Normally in good weather, the light could be seen from Lewis. It's about 20 miles away. They found that there was no flag on the flagstaff and no provision boxes left on the landing stage for refilling. They fired a flare and blew the ship's whistle to attract the keeper's attention, but there was no response.
Was the island uninhabited apart from the lighthouse?
Oh, yes.
Presumably, they sent someone ashore to investigate.
Yes, a boat was launched and the relief keeper was put ashore alone. He returned and came back to report that the doors were closed, the beds unmade and the clock stopped. He went back up to the lighthouse with a couple of sailors and found the lamps cleaned and refilled. A set of oil skins was found, suggesting that one of the keepers had left the lighthouse in his shirt sleeves. It was against the rules for all to leave the light unattended. A chair was overturned near the kitchen table. And there was severe damage to one of the landing places. A box 100 feet above the sea had been smashed and its contents spread about. Iron railings had been bent and the railway track used to bring supplies up was torn from its mounting. This damage was recorded in the log, which was kept up until 9 a.m. on the 15th, so it happened before their disappearance. The ship left the relief keeper, whose name was Moore, and three seamen, and returned to Lewis to report. The captain sent a report to the Northern Lighthouse Board. His conclusion was that they must have been swept into the sea in rough weather.
Were any bodies ever found?
No.
Was there an official inquiry?
Oh, yes. The Lighthouse Board sent a senior official who concluded that the men had gone to secure some equipment in bad weather and had been swept away by an extra large wave. Apparently the coastline is indented with narrow gullies known as geos, where the water rushes in and then explodes out again with great force. The men may have been trying to secure some equipment and been caught in one of these. One of them had previously been fined for losing some equipment.
What about the men themselves? Was there anything about them which might explain things?
One of them had a history of being a bit of a brawler. So one suggestion was there'd been a fight and they all fell into the sea.
Well, were there any conspiracy theories?
Oh, yes. Yeah, one was that they'd been abducted by aliens.
Oh, God.
This was used in a Doctor Who episode.
Oh.
There's also been an opera written based on it, and Genesis wrote a song called The Mystery of Flannan Island Lighthouse. I read the other day that a film has been released with Gerard Butler. I think it's called Keepers.
Oh, I like him. Must go and see it when it comes out. Well, it'd be interesting to see how the press would report it if it happened now. Well, I suppose it would go viral on anti-social media, as I like to call it.
Yeah, they were bad enough then. Here, one theory was that one of the keepers murdered the others and then drowned himself. Another was that a sea serpent had been responsible, and not least, that they'd been abducted by foreign spies. Yeah, there was a ballad written about it by someone called Wilfred Gibson. Here, hang on a second, download it to my phone. Here it is. Yet as we crowded through the door, we saw only a table spread for dinner, meat and cheese and bread. As though when they sat down to eat, ere they could even taste, alarm had come, and they in haste had risen and left the bread and meat. For at the table head, a chair lay tumbled on the floor.
So, is it a mystery or not?
Well, the most likely explanation is that they were swept away, but no conclusive evidence to confirm it, so I suppose it is a mystery. Anyway, I've always been fascinated by the story, so I'm looking forward to seeing where it happened for myself.
Will you land on the island?
Well, hopefully, weather permitting. There's no one on the island, as the lighthouse was automated in 1971. Hang on. Better put my phone away before the quiz starts again. Don't want to get accused of cheating.
It is.
Ladies and gentlemen, here are the answers to round 10.
Right.
1, John Buchan.
Yeah.
2, John Le Carre.
Yeah.
3, Joseph Conrad.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
4, Ken Follett. Mm-hmm. 5, Erskine Childress.
Yes. Right, yeah.
So the scores at the halfway point are as follows. In 6th place, The Train's Bust, 35 points. In 5th, The Old Codgers, 37 points. 4th, The Four Candles, 38 points. 3rd, Not As Dumb As We Look, 40 points. 2nd, The Four Brexiteers, 41 points. 1st, The Four Trust Men, 42 points.
Wow. There you go.
So, all to play for. Make sure all your phones, iPads, etc. are put away.
5th. Only 5 points adrift, so still a chance.
Yes.
Yeah, it could be.
So, if everybody's ready, here we go. Round 11. Geography of the British Isles.
Mm-hmm.
Question 1. The Flannan Isles are part of which island group?
Well, would you believe it?
Spooky or what?
That was a Bare Bones Theatre production with the following cast. The Question Master was played by Howard Jones, Bill by Dave Baldwin, Avril by Margaret Baldwin, Sally by Amanda Watkins, and Wilf by Gordon Stewart. Recording and production by Dave Baldwin. The music was composed and performed by Joseph McDade.